Today is the one-year anniversary of the Navy Yard shooting. Federal agencies still trying to figure out how reforms to the security clearance process might work. The Office of Personnel Management has canceled a contract with USIS, letting it expire at the end of this month. They're one of the companies responsible for doing background checks. Greg Rinke is a managing partner at the law firm Tully Rinke and an expert on the government security clearance process. He says so far, the security clearance reforms are just hollow achievements. Not much to speak of, Greg. A year after the Navy Yard shootings. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still an area of great concern to the nation's national security.
I've spoken on a number of occasions to Senator John Tester, and you told me before the program started that his Security Clearance Oversight Reform Act has a couple of provisions that would help in this area. What in Senator Tester's bill would push this idea of reforming the security clearance process along?
Well, I mean, there's a few things in his bill. I mean, OPM's IG now has access to the revolving fund, which is about $2 billion, and use of this fund for OPM's IG office to audit and investigate activities. There's also a push as well to limit the number of people holding security clearances, and I think that's really where one of the bigger issues lie is there's too many people right now that have security clearances.
That's the root of the issue, Greg, and that's what I'm hearing from the Hill is really going to be the concern, the area of focus when they dig into this. I don't know if you saw the story in the Washington Business Journal yesterday. Jill Oitoro had a great story in there about how CACI is right. Going after some of the employees of USIS, and it begs the question. If the same employee, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on either company or the employees that are doing the work. I'm focused on the system here. If the same employees are going to be doing the same work and following the same process, what's to lead us to think that we'll get a different result just because they're doing it for a different company?
Well, that's part of the problem here, and that's why one of the arguments is it needs to really be an inherently government function and needs to be brought back within the government agencies, OPM, to be doing these security clearance background checks. Because when you have private companies, sometimes they're motivated by profit, and that's what I think we saw with USIS. Is that some of these investigations were being pushed through without full investigations that were being done properly. I think that the number I've seen is that 665,000 may have not been done properly. So an area of great concern.
Some of the contractors that I've heard from, the counterargument to that is, of course, we're in it for the money. That's why we do it. We're also in it to serve the country. We want to do both. And the one potential answer to that might be, what's the incentive structure look like? I mean, we heard the accusations of USIS dumping some of these cases and just kind of essentially rubber stamping them. And it appears one issue would be the volume problem. If 5.1 right. million people didn't need to be cleared, then obviously you wouldn't have to do that many clearances and maintenances. The incentive structure is such that clearing a certain amount of people in a certain period of time to try to get the backlog caught up to date could be one of the things that got them into trouble, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, I think, you hit the nail on the head. There's too many people holding security clearances. There's too many investigations going on, and there's a pressure because there's a backlog. I think really fundamentally we need to relook at, do you really need to hold a security clearance for this position? And, you know, I think I've seen that potentially 60% of people that hold security clearances may not even need them. So I think we really need to look at that. Also, I think there needs to be reevaluations done at random times instead of where we're doing them now at every 5 or 10 years. And I think that's something we're going to see coming down the pike as well.
You sent me a couple of data points that I think are really really speak to the scale of this issue. I mentioned the 5.1 million people that are eligible right. for clearances that need them, and you note, does someone stocking shelves at a commissary need one? I know you mean that as a rhetorical question, but I'm sure a lot of folks don't look at it as one. Right. You also noted 60% of the people that have security clearances don't have access to classified information, and that the clearances cost as much as $4,000 a piece, if I'm reading you right.
Yeah, that's what our data shows, is, and that's a lot of money for people that may not even have access to classified information. So, I mean, it's a balancing act between, you may want to clear people so that when they need to have the access, we're not dealing with putting them through the process. I mean, let's face it, we're dealing with national security here, so it's not like we can say to someone needs it and we're going to get them cleared in a week. So obviously we want to have more people cleared probably than we need right now, but we shouldn't have people being cleared that, you know, potentially are never going to have the need for to be reviewing classified information.
Okay, so I'll ask my dumb question of the day, because the closest I've ever been to this process is I did have an interviewer come and ask me about someone that I know once. That's as close as I've ever been. Is it possible to construct for people like that some kind of like a mini process or half process or something that doesn't cost nearly as much money, that doesn't take up nearly as much time, but that puts somebody in position that if they ever did need to access classified information, you could do the rest of it only when you really needed them to be cleared all the way? Or doesn't it work that way?
It could work that way, and that's also why there's different levels of clearances. So you can be cleared at a lower level, and then if you have the need for a higher level, they, you know, just basically complete the background check for that. So that's being done to a certain extent, and obviously that's something that could be relooked at to, you know, give people maybe a preliminary security clearance, and then at a later date, if they need more, go back. But I think we're fundamentally also looking at people that are getting security clearances that don't even really need or have the need for them. There's too many people out there now. I mean, you know, 5.1 million people are eligible right now, are holding security clearances. That's a huge number of people. Especially with all these breaches that we're seeing in security clearance processing and people holding security clearances, the number really needs to come down.
You point out some other interesting facts in the notes about the quality of the background checks and what exactly they can and can't check. You write, checking databases around the clock doesn't take into account psychological counseling, sexual behavior such as adultery, and foreign contacts. What does get at those things? And none of those things, I imagine, are disqualifying events in and of themselves. And so it seems to me that some subjectivity is necessary to understand them that you probably can't gain from an automated process.
Absolutely. And that really needs to be investigated through investigation of face-to-face, where you're talking to family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. That's how you get that information. Running, you know, names through databases, I mean, it'll pull up certain things, but it's not going to pull up a lot of security clearance concerns. So fundamentally, we really need to move back to more investigation of some of these clearances.
You pointed out in Federal Times last year, not long after the shootings, security clearances reinvestigated every 5, 10, or 15 years. OPM would require security clearance holders go through 2 random audits every 5 years. How far would that go, or will that go, in remedying some of the situations you look at? I guess it depends on how comprehensive those random audits are.
Right. And random audits are great because they're going to catch things that some people are not going to self-report. I mean, you're supposed to self-report a lot of these, you know, negative law enforcement contact. You're supposed to self-report. But let's face it, if you're going to breach national security, are you really going to self-report?
Yeah, if I'm a bad guy, I'm not. There's no way I'll do that.
Exactly. But random checks are going to catch people. Random checks are going to catch people that are in trouble either financially or in trouble criminally or with alcohol or drugs, and, you know, I think is going to protect national security. The other thing, too, is you know, with random checks, people don't know that it's going to be every 5 years or every 10 years. So it's kind of, they can't game the system as well. And the other thing, too, is counterintelligence. A lot of this goes back to having people within agencies that are in a sense, watching the people with security clearances to make sure, because sometimes that's the best way to catch a problem, is someone within the agency assigned to counterintelligence to be checking the people that hold these clearances.